Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth program again. I thank you for joining in and wanting to study some more of God's Word together with us. And I'm looking forward to it myself. We're going to go back into study number 15 today, and that's the letter O, and we started it last recording concerning obedience. And we had kind of like a introductory recording last time, and we talked about a lot of different things concerning our country and about how God-fearing and obedient our children and our grandchildren are, and all the fruit is showing concerning obedience, and just kind of compared it to that. And we found out some pretty eye-opening stuff, didn't we? But there was one thing I started to tell you last week whenever we was talking about the 10 leading causes of death by age group. You remember that. One thing I was going to say to you, but I got off track, which I'm apt to do any time, was the youngest person so far that's been recorded to have committed suicide. And I started to tell you that, and I got off track. Well, it's a little girl, and I think her name, I have to go back and look. Don't quote me on this, but I think I'm right. Her name was Amanda. And I got a picture of her, and she's a pretty little girl. And just like six little innocent, bubbly little six-year-old girl should look. But she's 6 years old, and she was at home. And her mother was disciplining her and told her to go to her room. And the next time they didn't see her coming out of her room or any kind of commotion or anything like that for a while. And when they went to check on her, they found her hung from her bed by a belt. She had took a belt and put it around her neck and hung it from the top of the bed and hung herself. Because she had to go to her room. Now, that's 6 years old, and it was determined on her death certificate, and all due respect to her mother and father and her loved ones that lost her. I know that must have been a terrible thing for them to go in there and find their child, their six-year-old daughter, like that. And what a terrible thing to have to go through, to think what was going through her mind and how it got in there. But that's how our society is now concerning obedience, that a six-year-old child could go into the bedroom from being disciplined and think that in society and in the realm of her life, as a six-year-old, the only way that she could find to get out of the situation that she was in her mind and in her heart, was to kill herself. And where did she find out how to hang herself anyway? Where did she get that information from? Might have been one of them video games, huh? I don't know. I can't say for sure. Might have been one. I mean, they got some gory stuff on some of them things now, don't they? It could have been talked about in school. I mean, six-year-olds talk about some stuff that six-year-olds never, ever used to talk about now. You got 11 and 12-year-olds fornicating with one another and having children and getting pregnant. I mean, six-year-olds are not that far off. Obedience. Obedience is a very important thing, and much more critical than people think it is. People don't think much of obedience nowadays. They think, when somebody thinks of obedience today, they think somebody's trying to put chains on me and stop me from having my rights, and I got my rights, and I can do what me want to. And, yeah, I guess you can. But you're going to pay for everything. You're the one that's going to reap the fruit, and others are going to reap it. I mean, these two generations, three generations from me and you already, however many generations are behind you already, can you tell that they're paying there, that the fruit is coming out? Can you tell? You should be able to. the fruit's coming out. But the Bible has the answer for some of these problems. Let's go to the moon. Let's spend billions and go to Mars, and we'll figure something out, and we'll try to. I mean, what has all this stuff done for mankind? What has it done about sin? What's it done about healing cancer? What's it done about marriage that's breaking up? Marriages that are breaking up. Every one out of two marriages is dissolving nowadays. What's it doing about the record number of prisoners in jail? I mean, what's it doing? I mean, where's all this money going and all this stuff that everybody's talking about? We're going to help and we're going to make the human race better and better and better and better and better and better and better, and it ain't doing them to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And they're looking at you cross-eyed when you try to tell them the truth and say you're lying to us, because it ain't getting better. It's getting worse, just like the Lord said it was going to. In my day and age, you'd have never heard of a six-year-old. You'd have never. They would have had a state inspection, and they would have had a state. They would have run that thing. In my generation, when I was a kid, if a six-year-old hung herself, they'd be looking for somebody, buddy. They'd be looking for who put that in that child's mind, because that wasn't around. Kids didn't think like that. But it's routine, normal stuff nowadays, and the most surprising thing that's going on today is that society and even the Christian realm has accepted it as normal thinking. The drug epidemic. What has all these better and better and better and better programs, all the women's rights and all the minority groups and all these people that are so-called benefiting and getting better and I'm going to stand out and have my rights. What have they done about the drug problem in America? How has that helped the drug problem? Besides all this, how's it helped the suicide? All you women that are women's rights and all this stuff and all this stuff, congratulations. How's your program, your women's rights program, done anything for suicide? Your kids are killing themselves. But you got your rights, don't you? They're killing each other, but you got your rights. All you minority groups out there, are you talking about how mistreated you are because of you're a minority, huh? What has your minority done for suicide and done for homicide and done for your children that are killing themselves and dying right in front of your faces? What is your minority and your women's rights and your this rights and that rights? You know, the only rights anybody's got is the right to do right. You never have the right to do wrong, ever. Ever. And you can call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. I'm a liberated woman. I'm a minority. You can title yourself whatever you want to title yourself. But in God's eyes, you never have the right to do wrong, no matter what kind of title you have. Never. But rights, 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 rights. And look who's paying for it. And look what all the fruit's going on. What's it done for the drug overdoses? What's any of these rights done for the drug overdoses? How have you prospered that? How have you helped that? Drug overdoses are at a critical time now, and they are more than they've ever been in history since man's been able to record anything. As far back as we can record, there's more people dying and killing themselves with dope nowadays than any other time in the world. And you telling me that we can spend billions and billions and billions of dollars to build walls, and we can spend billions of dollars to help minorities and back up the ERA and the SRA and the QP, WXYZs and all the minority and back, do all this kind of stuff, but you ain't got the money to stop people from killing themselves with drugs? Or don't you care? Or is it a plan to give them drugs and let them die? And pretend you care? What's the truth, man? Who's helping who? Who cares and who don't care? Go kid your grandma. You're not kidding me. I see it. The Lord sees it. He knows. And some of you people know. And you Christians, you ought to know. And you ought to confess the truth. You ought to live the truth. We talked about obedience and began to talk about obedience last recording. And we talked about this stuff with these 10 leading causes of death, just to kind of get into it and just to open this thing up and talk about how important obedience is and what the Bible has to say about obedience. The first thing that we're going to get into category-wise, finding out about obedience, is God's attitude regarding obedience. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say God's attitude toward regarding obedience is? Well, let's move into it and read God's Word. That's what we're here for, is to find out what saith the Lord. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Of course, we know that scripture right there. Samuel was rebuking Saul for not obeying the Lord and completely and utterly destroying the people he went to war and the animals and everything else. And he allowed the people to bring back animals and some of the stuff that they were supposed to kill all the animals and destroy everything and kill all. They brought back the spoils. The people lusted after the spoils and they got the animals and got all that stuff and disobeyed the Lord and come back. And when they come back, Saul looked at Samuel and he said, "Hey, we obeyed the Lord." And Samuel said, "Well, what's that bleeding of the bleeding of the sheep that I hear? Bah! Where'd they come from?" He said, "Oh, well," and then he said, "up, up, 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 because he disobeyed. He disobeyed an order of the Lord and what the Lord told him to do and not to do. And Samuel rebuked him. And that cost Saul. That cost Saul. It cost him being king. It cost him everything. But the statement that he said in the Word of God concerning obedience and what the Lord's attitude toward obedience is has not changed. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" The Lord would rather and gets more delight out of somebody obeying his voice than he does you bringing offerings to him and offerings to him. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen to the Lord, than the fat of rams." And that's something that's happened in society today and in Christendom. And you want to talk about where all this suicide and drugs and people dying and picking up two-year-olds and slamming their heads against dumpsters and killing. All this outrageous stuff that's in society that's real nowadays. It all stems from disobeying the Lord and not listening to Him. We don't want the Lord telling us what to do. That's the answer. But the Lord hasn't changed His attitude regarding obedience at all. His Word said it before, and His Word still says it. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the Bible says, "And when He had removed him, He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also He gave their testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." which shall fulfill all my will. What a wonderful thing that, now of course we know that King David was chosen by the Lord to replace Saul when Saul disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord just had enough of it. And he said, okay, you're out and David's in. And one thing that the Lord said and complimented David, the son of Jesse, King David, about, and by the way, from David's line was where the Savior, the Messiah, came from. And he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. What a thing for the Lord to say about a human being. This man here, David, is after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. The Lord was bragging on this man because he knew his heart, and he knew that David's heart was searching for the very heart of God. David wanted to know the heart of the Lord. That's how much he loved the Lord. And also, the Lord had full confidence in David. He said, which shall fulfill all my will. The Lord's attitude regarding obedience has not changed. Let me ask you a question. Why did the Lord describe King David the way that he did in Acts 13:22 right there? What would you say? Why did the Lord describe him like that? He said, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That is God saying that about a man. Why would he say that about David? Because he found David to be an obedient man and somebody that was doing it from the heart. He mentioned David's heart, remember? And he mentioned David, or mentioned David seeking after his own heart. David's heart was in such a manner to where he wanted to know God's heart so that he could be like him. Which shall fulfill all my will, and had every bit of confidence in him that he was going to obey him and do what he asked him to do, and to do right. And he could trust him to be obedient. Why did the Lord describe King David in the way he did? Because it was truth. It was truth. David wasn't pretending. The Bible says that God, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And God can tell whether your heart's obedient or not. Remember when the last recording was talking about little Susie? Went and sat down, had to be told by her daddy to sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. When she finally sat down, she called her daddy and said, Daddy, I'm still standing up in my heart. Remember that? That's not obedience according to the Lord. Because, see, the first one that sees that is the Lord. The Lord knows your heart. You can be obedient. You can pretend and go through emotions of obedience. But God knows whether you're obedient in your heart and you mean it. And whether you're doing it because you want to, or whether you're obeying because you have to. God could make us robots if he wanted to, and he could command, and it would come to pass. If God wanted to, he'd make you do anything he wants you to do. He'd just say it, and you would snap to it. But that's not the way the Lord treats us. The Lord gives you a will to be obedient or disobedient. If the Lord wanted us to be obedient, he could make us be obedient, couldn't he? Sure he could. But he wants us to be obedient because we want to be obedient. And because we love him, because for the wonderful, compassionate, merciful, living God that he is. When you find out how wonderful the Lord is anyway, brothers and sisters, and you really start like David did, and you start seeking after God's own heart to know what the Lord is like and to seek after what he is like. When you start looking for that, when you start finding out what the Lord is like, you're going to want to serve him and be obedient to him anyway. You can't be disobedient to somebody that loves you and somebody that treats you like they love you and looks out for your well-being. So, what's God's attitude regarding obedience? He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. You can bring me all the prizes and gifts and offerings and everything else and put your old fancy little noise-making offering in the offering plate and everything and make your Ananias and Sapphira offering in front of everybody. But that doesn't impress the Lord. The Lord's impressed with a heart that is obedient. To obey is better than sacrifice. And God hadn't changed his mind. He ain't changed his mind. And that's not all. What's God's attitude regarding disobedience? Regarding disobedience. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, the Bible says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Of course, we know that's Saul again, and that was his, the Lord rejecting him and kicking him out. And why? Because rebellion, because of stubbornness, because of disobedience, because he rejected the word of the Lord. He knew the word of the Lord, but he didn't want to obey God. He wanted to do it his own way and make his own mind up. Me do what me want to. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 through 21, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him," well, that's something that's not very popular today, chastening the children, but the Bible's very clear about it, that it helps and that it does miracles. But anyway, "when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them," he doesn't listen anyway, "then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Well, there'd be a long line if that was going on today, wouldn't it? But listen to the results. As Mama and Daddy took him to the front gate there where the elders were and pronounced him stubborn and rebellious and that he wouldn't obey and that he was a drunkard and a glutton. So what's the decision? "And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Wow. The Bible says that God's attitude regarding disobedience in the Old Testament was death. And not only death, but death by stoning. And not only death by stoning, but death by stoning by the elders of your city and being turned in by your own mom and dad. What's God say rebellion is like? What's he compare rebellion, which is disobedience, like? "I'm not going to obey the Lord. Me 3 years old. Me do what me want to." And what's God say rebellion's like? He said rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And what's God say about witchcraft in the Scriptures? There's only one verse that gives a sentence for witches. It says, "Suffer not a witch to live." In other words, put her to death. If you find out somebody's a witch, kill her. Put her to death. Well, there'd be a long line for that today, too, wouldn't there? For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. So, in other words, God compares and likens disobedience in a person, like just as somebody that's involved in a sin of witchcraft, of being a witch and in witchcraft. And it also said that stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And you know what God thinks of iniquity and idolatry. So the Lord doesn't think very much. He hasn't got a high opinion of any rebellion or stubbornness and doesn't have patience for it as much as people think he does. The Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore it is set in the hearts. I'm probably not going to say this exactly right, and I should look it up. But therefore the hearts of men are fully set to do evil. In other words, and that's very prominent today, because people aren't getting punished for sin immediately, then they don't think of it as seriously as they should, the Bible says, and they get away with it, and they continue to sin. The Bible says stubbornness and rebellion are treated as iniquity and idolatry, and they are paid back by death. Both of these have death sentences on them. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out and kill somebody, that you kill your son that's disobedient. This was Old Testament under the law, which is true. But God hadn't changed his mind concerning disobedience. And he changed his mind concerning disobedience to your parents. But if a 12-year-old nowadays in your generation, in your society, walks up and holds a gun up to your face, you better not think it's a squirt gun. Yeah. The words rebel, rebelled, rebellist, rebellion, rebellious, and rebels is not found in the New Testament. It's not in there. You can't find it. It's not in the New Testament. All these words about rebellion and rebel and rebel and all this is in the Old Testament all over the place. But in the New Testament, you can't find rebellion. Not the word. Isn't that peculiar? You know why, I think? The Lord has not changed his attitude of what he thinks about rebellion. He didn't need to write it in the New Testament. He figures probably that after what God's Son went through for the New Testament and the New Covenant, and after what God the Father did to his Son, his only begotten Son, his only begotten obedient Son, for sinners, that they would see it as their duty not to rebel. God's attitude toward disobedience has not changed. Has not changed. Obeying is very Christ-like. Because you want to, not because you have to. When your heart starts becoming, the Bible says that the Lord is conforming us into the image of Christ. He's conforming our heart and our thinking into the image of Christ also. And your heart is being conformed into the image of Christ in such a way to where obedience becomes a privilege rather than a burden. God's attitude regarding obedience is the same. God's attitude regarding disobedience is the same. He doesn't like it. And he brags on people and is pleased with people that are obedient and that are seeking after his heart, because he's worthy. To be like God is a privilege, not a burden. Only people that walk in darkness and stubbornness and rebellion think that God is somebody that binds them up and is a terrible taskmaster. That's not the way the Lord is. The Lord could do anything he wanted, any time he wanted. And I knew a guy one time that told me he was in the troubled men's camp that I ran up there. And it shocked me when he said that. He said, I remember one time when I looked up at God when I was in my mess. He said, I looked up at God and I meant it with all my heart. I said, God, come on down here and I'll gouge your eyes out. I shook in my shoes when he said that. It scared me for him. But that's how your society and your generations are now. That's what they think of God. God, how dare you say anything to me? Especially instruct me to do something or to obey you. Let's look at something else. The source of true obedience. What is the source of obedience? Well, in the scriptures, the Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God. You know how this God is love and love God and God love and love love God and God God love and all this stuff going on around today? God is love, 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 love. I ain't against love. I love love, but I love Christ's love. The world's love is not love. Hadn't you figured that out yet? 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. People think that the Lord, to come to the Lord and to obey the Lord is grievous and it's going to tie them down and keep them from doing what they want to. Well, sure it will, because it's holy. And it will stop you from sinning. To obey the Lord will stop you from sinning. So you see where this is going and why people don't want to obey the Lord, including yourself? Some of the reasons that we don't want to obey the Lord and have anything to do with obedience, and obedience grieves us at the very word and the very sound of it, is because I don't want nobody controlling me. I want to do what me want to. And what do you mean by that? I want to do what me want to. It sure ain't wanting to do holy and goodness. It's wanting, I want to have my sinful pleasures. That's what it's all about. The source of true obedience is in obeying the Lord. It's 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. When you get this thing of salvation down and you really start thinking about it and appreciating it, that you're going to die and your body is going to go into that grave and you're going to separate from that body and your soul is going somewhere. And if you're going to heaven, and I'm not saying you're not, I'm saying if you're going to heaven, then the Lord has done something very special for you. Why is it that you have such a hard time obeying him if you know what he's done for you? Because your life is not in this world. Your life is not compared to this world at all. It has your life has no meaning in this world here at all. Whatever you leave behind is going to be here and it ain't going with you. Only what you do for the Lord is going to go with you. So the Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 15 concerning the source of true obedience, if ye what me, then you'll do what? If you love me, then you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. You say you love God? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because you want to, not because you have to. That's being obedient. Jesus said, Jesus said, let's quit playing these games. If you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 23, we read, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Are you interested in God's words? Are you interested in keeping God's words? Is it all right with you if you keep God's words? That you love the Lord enough that you'd willing to keep his words. The Bible says he will keep my words. In other words, his will that's in this man, the will that he has to exercise, yes or no, or maybe, whatever, his will is to keep my words. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, his commandments are not grievous. You can't say that it's hard to keep God's word. Because the Lord said it's not grievous. And he's talking about as far as God's word being grievous. Now, there is sacrifice that goes along with keeping God's word, but there's a lot of sacrifice that goes along with keeping the devil's side too, isn't there? Doesn't it cost you to be on the devil's side? Doesn't it? You can't say that it's easier to be on the devil's side. The devil won't mess with you if you're on his side. He'll leave you alone. He won't persecute you, and he won't bother you and everything else. But you know what we're talking about. We're talking about the source of true obedience. Notice that word true? True obedience. Not this fake obedience that's in among Christians nowadays. Going to some of these churches nowadays is like going to a theater. It's a bunch of theatrical plays. We go in and watch a theater, a play be put on. And then you say amen, and you go home and continue as you were. And that's not all. Concerning obedience in the letter O, promises and blessings relating to obedience. What's the Bible say? I mean, if the Lord just told us to be obedient, and the Lord doesn't tell us and say, you be obedient or else. Now, that's kind of a hard thing to, the Lord's not that way, and the Bible doesn't declare that, even though God could do it if he wanted to. He could say, you be obedient or else. But he doesn't do it that way. You know how the Lord does it? He says that my commandments are not grievous, number one. And then he turns around and says that when somebody's obedient because they want to be obedient, there comes along promises and blessings related to obedience. The Lord loves rewarding obedience. He cares about you sacrificing and your choices of being obedient to him rather than the world or your flesh or the devil. Let's look at some of them. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Now, what's God promise when we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight? What's he promise us in that verse right there? Now, if you believe God's word and you believe it's true and you believe God keeps his promises, he just made you a promise right there in that verse. He said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. What's the promise? Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. You say, God don't ever give me nothing. Well, are you obedient? Or are you a disobedient child? You might be saved, but being saved don't make you obedient. The Lord's killed a whole bunch of Christian, a bunch of his children and brought them on home because they are shaming his name and his son's name down here in the flesh. I used to be one of them until the Lord had mercy on me and saved me out of that mess. And you. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. What a blessing. Have you ever had anything from the Lord that you know the Lord gave you and he gave it to you and it had his love and his compassion and his kindness attached to it and you knew in your heart that it was very special that he gave that to you? Kind of like receiving, like you would give your girlfriend a rose or your husband or your boyfriend something, you know, very special, and they receive it and it's special because of who it comes from and the thoughtfulness that's in it. That's how the Lord's blessings are. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. For obedience. Man, after you get a hold of what the way the Lord treats you, and his kindness to you for just loving him, and being sincere about your love to him, you won't want to be away from it. You will not want to be a disobedient. You'll start being a burden to yourself because your flesh is driving you nuts wanting to get you away from the Lord. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And for those of you that don't, you will. If you're born again, you will. Listen to this. Talking about promises and blessings related to obedience. John chapter 15, verse 10 says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What's the Lord promise us there for the obedient Christian? I mean, where does an obedient Christian abide? He abides in the love of God. You say, Brother TV, I have problems with me and the Lord being in love and stuff like that. Well, are you keeping his commandments? Are you obedient in your heart toward the Lord? I mean, when you read something in the scriptures and it crosses your life and says, you better check on this one now. Do you check on it? If the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, and you know you told a lie, are you getting it fixed? Are you getting it corrected? Are you confessing these things to the Lord and telling him I messed up? Being obedient, the Lord says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. You'll live in the presence of God's love by abiding in his commandments and being obedient to him. I ain't talking about thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. In the New Testament, we have liberty. The New Covenant, what the Lord Jesus Christ done for us, we have liberty. And you learn that as you grow in the Lord. And you find out how easy it is to live for the Lord. The only one that makes it hard to live for the Lord is the enemy. The Lord does not make it hard to live for him. The Lord puts you through trials and tests, but he also makes a way of escape, and he protects you through it. It's the enemy that tries to make it miserable for us to serve the Lord and tries to make it look like vanity, which is a lie. You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let me tell you something. If you want somebody that's faithful that'll take care of your needs, you ought to be obedient to the Lord. Because obedience, let me tell you something, there ain't nobody that can take care of you as good as God can. And there's nobody that will take care of you as good as God will. And I'm not speaking this just because the Bible says it, even though that makes it true. I'm telling you from my life experience, the Lord has taken very good care of me and been very kind to me. And I've not suffered one thing that I needed since I've trusted in him. And I can't tell you how it comes sometimes. It is amazing to live for the Lord because he adds his love to everything that he gives you. And it's rich. Not necessarily monetarily rich. It's rich, like a dessert that's rich. You don't have to have much of it to know that it's just delicious. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And there is no sorrow with the Lord's blessings. And the Lord just said right there, he tells you not even to think about tomorrow, about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to be clothed with. He said don't even think about it. And that's the opposite of the world nowadays, isn't it? Man, it's covet, 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 covet. You need this, you need that, go get, come on. You ain't down at the store yet buying something that you need? That's how the world's driving you nuts. The Lord doesn't do that to you. The Lord says, forget all that stuff. Just be obedient to me and live with me and live for me and do my will, and I'll give you every bit of that stuff. And he does. And he does. What three things in that verse right there is the Lord promised to take care of you and to, if you'll put him first. He said in that verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is within you. It's the spiritual things of God. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The kingdom of God in the Scriptures is the spiritual, walking in the Spirit and the things of the Spirit. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to be like the Lord and be righteous like the Lord, to practice being like the Lord and let the Lord change us in every way. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, either God's a liar and he doesn't provide those things for you. I've never heard anybody say that. I've never heard anybody stand up and say, God's a liar. He never provided for me and I trusted in him and he let me down. I've never heard anybody say that. Not in a condemning way to the Lord that they meant it. And I even looked and I searched to see where the Lord let me down so I could blame him. But when I told the truth, he ain't never let me down. I can't find one place in my life where the Lord's ever let me down. Ever. Even in my disobedient days and my rebellious days, the Lord was there for me. And he is there for you. And still is. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he don't. He don't. That's stupid. He doesn't. He doesn't. Promises and blessings regarding obedience or relating to obedience. There's blessings and promises in your family when you were growing up. If you were obedient, your mom and daddy tried to do their very best for you to make you happy, didn't they? And when you were disobedient and rebellious, it grieved them, and they had to go a whole different route, didn't they? It's not different in God's family. That's your Heavenly Father now, and He takes His fatherhood very seriously. He said, and He chastens every child to whom He hath to do, and which are all partakers. If you're disobedient, you're going to get a whooping. And the idea is that when you get the whooping and you go through the class, don't have to repeat the class. Because God can, the Lord can tear your hind end up, and He will. He doesn't mind. He's a good father. But you know what happens? Even in His whipping times, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It makes us holy like the Lord. It yields. When the Lord whips us, it brings out holiness in us and righteousness. It makes us more like Him. I mean, either way with the Lord does it for our benefit. You know why? Because the Lord doesn't need to be any more better. He doesn't have to be any more holy. He doesn't have to grow more righteous. He is everything in all. He's all. I am that I am, the Lord said. And He doesn't ever change. He stays the same. And He never compromises His integrity. He's a wonderful Lord, a living God. And if you're born again, you have a wonderful, wonderful Father. And you need to think about being obedient to Him. But the first step of obedience is being able to talk to Him. If you can't talk to the Lord, there's something in between you and Him. And it's probably coming from your side. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know what your heart's like, and you know what's holding you back. Why don't you have a conversation with the Lord tonight and get that thing straightened up? Start being obedient. Well, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to pick back up in the middle where we left off on the promises and blessings relating to obedience. Today we've recapped on some of that stuff that we started out in our preliminary study last recording about the causes of death and all that stuff and the results and the fruit of what's going on because of obedience in America and stuff like that. And we talked about today and got into it, God's attitude regarding obedience. I mean, come on, think about it. What kind of God would He be if He didn't care whether somebody was obedient to Him or not? What kind of God would that be? The reason that our God is so special is because He can't be manipulated. He has integrity as God. And He doesn't compromise that for nobody. And He is worth being like. God says, I don't want to be like you. I want you to be like me. And if you told the truth, that is the way it needs to be. And He made a way for us to do it through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought us back. And now we can be with the Lord, and we can grow and be like Him. God's attitude regarding obedience has not changed. And God's attitude regarding disobedience has not changed. He still thinks the same way about disobedience. It's rebellion. It has the sin of witchcraft. And in the Old Testament, it was a death penalty for it. It'd be a pretty small population if everybody got killed because of disobedience nowadays, wouldn't it? And then we talked about the source of true obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And God's commandments aren't grievous. Do you even know what the Lord talks about and the way He wants, the things He says to you in His Word? You should. Why don't you? You ought to fall in love with God's Word. It's worth loving. It takes some discipline to stay with God's Word because the enemy and your flesh and the devil and the world's going to try to... That's the main thing in your life that the enemy and the world and the flesh is going to try to take away from you every time is God's Word. You have to be disciplined and you have to do it on purpose if you're going to be in a relationship with God's Word. But it's the most rewarding thing that you'll ever come across in your life. The source of true obedience. And then we talked about promises and blessings relating to obedience. And we got two or three of those and talked about them. And we're going to pick up right there in the middle of promises and blessings and see some more promises and blessings. The Bible says, and whatsoever you ask, you receive of Him. And says, if you keep His commandments, you'll abide in His love. What a promise. And then take no thought that the Lord's going to provide you with your food, your drink. It says, take no thought what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. And the Lord take care of all of your needs, every one of them. And you will have need for nothing. And He gives you special things along with it, just to show you His kindness. He does. Some of you can testify to that. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures. You got your pencil and paper? We begin there, God's attitude regarding obedience, which is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Then is Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Then when we got into the disobedient part of God's attitude toward it was 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, and Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 through 21. Then we talked about the source of true obedience, John chapter 14, verse 15, John chapter 14, verse 23, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And I'm going to hold off on those promises and blessing scriptures that we used. There's three of them, I think. And I'll give them all to you next recording, okay? Well, the Lord bless you, and thank you so much for listening in studying with us. And the Lord honors those that honor Him, and you have honored the Lord today by studying His Word and listening to His Word and seeing what His Word says. And by the way, everything that we talked about God's Word, didn't we? We talked about what saith the Lord. We didn't talk about what we think or what we want the Bible to say. We talked about what the Bible says. Amen. There's some promises there for you. You should claim them. Well, y'all have a wonderful evening. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I really appreciate you honoring our Lord and thinking enough of Him to study. And I hope you have a wonderful evening and a good night's rest. God bless you. Bye-bye.